Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Debo Getty, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. We have a fabulous guest with us today, don't we, Terry?
We do. We have Kathy Smith from Greyhound Rescue.
And from Greyhound Rescue in upstate New York, even. Rochester. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, and not only is Kathy here, but she has two of her Greyhounds with her, and they are...
This is Azure over here, sleeping on the couch, and she's 7.
And how long have you had her, Kathy?
Azure, I have had 1.5 years. Azure came to me after a close friend died, and I took her. And then I have Sid, and he is a big white boy, and he is 11, and I've had him for 9 years.
Wow.
I got him, he was just a little shy of 2.
And you have 2 more
at
home.
Yeah, so I was going to say, 2 more at home.
2 more at home. I have Sarah, who came with Azure. Sarah is 10, so I've had her about 1.5 years. And Ellie, who is 13.5, and I've had her for 6 years.
Cool. So when we were talking just before the show, you had an interesting story about Azure. You said she was born on the track?
Yeah, Azure was born on the track. I mean, typically that doesn't happen, but she was, quote, a mistake on the track, and so she was going to... be euthanized, and a family in Florida took her in and raised her for 1 year, and then she came up on one of the transports, and my friend Sherry adopted her when she was 1. So she's much more like a real, not that she's not a real dog, but she plays and she runs and she fetches sticks and plays with frisbees, which typically greyhounds don't do because they're not acclimated like a puppy. They're just taught to run. So she was in a family, she was very socialized, and so she's very much like that.
So the racing greyhounds that then go into greyhound adoption, what age do they stop racing greyhounds?
Anywhere from 2 to 5. 5 is definitely the top. More and more greyhounds are, if they don't by about 3 really perform, they're retired. So really they're more rejected greyhounds as much as we have more of the retired greyhounds are the 5. But some that aren't, so if they're not producing profitably, then yeah, 3 would be about the cutoff there.
And when do they start racing?
They start racing about 18 months.
And so does that have a negative physical impact on the dogs, on the structurally?
I mean, they are, as you can see, I mean, they are really born to run. And so what structurally happens to them, I guess, would be just the injuries that happen on the track, and that there's so much that can happen from, there's a first turn when they're coming out of the track and they go around the first turn. This back right leg here typically gets broken a lot because that first turn they dig in, and a lot of times that's where some of their first injuries come from, but they break legs, they break feet. The problem on the track is that a lot of times these injuries aren't dealt with, and so they just sort of heal up, but they're not completely healed. They tend to run on them when they're hurt, so that then will compromise their health later on. But in terms of their physique, they're born to run. They love to run, and boy, are they great to watch to run.
I'll bet. So we're not even going to go into the right or wrongs of racing greyhounds, but what I love is the fact that rescue has become, as far as I can tell, a huge thing in the greyhound world. Is that correct?
It is, and I think, and certainly tracks are more and more interested in working with adoption groups and to help these dogs become adopted. There are holding kennels off of the tracks where the dogs will go, and then the kennel attendants that work in the holding kennels then pick dogs based on what criteria has come from the adoption group. So there's a real effort made to match that dog with an adoptive family. A lot of the criteria has been sent down. So, yeah, and people becoming more and more aware of what goes on in the racing industry. It's not that the dogs, I mean, we don't, with our group, we're not racing bashers. We take a real neutral stance. But these dogs live in crates. They're pretty much in the crate 23, 24 hours of the day, stacked 4 high. I mean, you can kind of figure out what that would be like. And so people see that, and I think the interest is, I'm not really going to support something that... where an animal lives in that way. Also, the economy, there's less interest, I think, in racing than there used to be. It used to be more of a social event. So for a lot of reasons, more attention is being made to, hey, these guys are great pets, and let's do something about that.
That's cool. Now, how many dogs go into the rescue mechanism, I guess?
How many are adopted each year?
How many are adopted each year versus how many aren't adopted each year?
Well, I think that it's hard to say, the numbers vary so, but there's probably about 25,000 to 30,000 dogs that are not adopted each year.
Wow.
And but there's probably about 20 that are.
Wow.
So there's, you know, wow. It's
that's huge numbers.
It's a real high number, and but that number is getting, like I said, better every year, and but there's still a long way to go.
Was there a particular time that you recall? When did this all start? When did the push toward rescuing greyhounds start?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not totally sure. I mean, I think it's been at least for about the last 20 years. I know that I became interested in greyhounds a long time ago, before I was ever able myself, my circumstances, to get a dog. But that had to have been 15 years ago that I was interested, and I wrote the Humane Society, and I got a video about what happens to greyhounds from the track, which totally pushed me to say, yeah, I'm doing something with these guys.
What got you interested?
In the greyhounds? Mm-hmm. Something about them. I remember seeing one, and I just thought, well, I've always been an animal lover. I have had Goldens before, and, you know, who doesn't love a Golden Retriever? But there was something about a greyhound, the sort of mystical, magical presence of that. It's something very spiritual about them. And I think I just love the idea of sort of the resurrection for them from this former life to a new life, and being able to help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
It just resonated with me, and I said, I just got to have that. And once I got Sid, I got him first. I said, this is the breed. I have to have this breed. And I think they just keep coming. Just like, you know, just like, and that's what happens a lot when people adopt a greyhound. It's not long before we're getting a call. I'll take another. You know, a lot of times the adoption groups will, if say, you know, if you can you take two at once? Because they've only lived with other greyhounds. They've only lived with other animals. And while we think we're taking them into a great environment, you know, you're coming into my home and I'm going to take care of you, a lot of greyhounds have a lot of separation anxiety because that's all they know. You take them in, they don't have the partnership of the other dogs, and they really do kind of freak out. So if you can bring two in at a time, then that really, for any animal, but particularly for these guys, that really does help with their transition.
So in general terms, is this a healthy breed? It sounds to me like your dogs are living long lives. Your greyhounds are living long lives.
Yeah, they can live between, 10 and 12 is kind of the normal range. Mm-hmm. I've got Ellie is 13 and a half, so, I mean, she's doing great. But, of course, you know, she's got the life out there. I mean, she's, mm-hmm. But, they're good, healthy dogs. And if they don't have injuries, and I mean, it's like any other breed, and they're well cared for. I mean, that's, you know, a larger breed lives less. We all know that. But,
That's a nice long life, though.
That is a nice long life.
And especially, you know, retiring between 2 and 5, that's a lot of years left to have a wonderful life with a family.
Assuming they get adopted.
Right. The ones that get adopted.
I know. I focused on the wrong side of that. But that's a lot of dogs that aren't getting adopted.
Yeah.
That's tough.
So I guess we should just quickly talk about this track closure piece.
Yeah, I mean, just recently that the tracks closed in Massachusetts. Massachusetts now legal, which is great. And Florida, that has the most tracks right now, I think there's still 13 tracks in Florida, is looking at closing tracks within the next couple of years. And rather than dog racing, they're just going to turn the tracks over to casinos and make a whole lot more money, which is great for the dogs and great for all of us who take care of them. But what's going to happen is there's something, and people involved in this, there's a website, I don't know the website, it's called the Pathfinder Project. And the whole project is about looking at what's being termed this greyhound tsunami, where there's just going to be this dearth of dogs available very quickly. In the next couple of years, they're estimating approximately maybe 3,000 dogs might come available at one time in the system. And what's going to happen? And so while, yes, we want the tracks to close, and we hope that that will happen, there's a domino effect. And then you've got the dogs that are in the farms waiting to go to the tracks. So you've got those being raised from puppies to begin racing, and they'll have to deal with those dogs. So what this Pathfinder Project is doing is, trying to alert adoption groups in the area to say, you know, be ready, work with vets and say, you know, do you have space where you would be able to hold dogs for a while we find homes? Ask people to foster more, perhaps ask us to push a little and open our doors a little wider to see if you have two. Could you possibly take three? So just to try and look ahead, while this may be several years still to come, to be thinking in that way, because that's what happens when we don't plan. And then there's 3,000 dogs in the system. Well, I think you can figure out what's going to happen to some of them.
Yeah, that won't be good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Do y'all transport dogs all over the country to
well,
go to homes?
Well, our group is one of many groups that receives dogs from the tracks. So we work with those on the tracks who then they have huge transport vehicles that they bring them up. Typically, we work mostly with a track in Florida, and they come up in this big thing. It looks like a big, huge kind of ice cream truck with many. I think there's sometimes with 40 little holding kennels right in there, and the dogs travel up sometimes 24 hours straight, and they come out. And all the a lot of times we meet in Buffalo. Our group comes from Rochester, Syracuse will come in, Buffalo will come in, sometimes groups from Pennsylvania, and we all meet sometimes in this little restaurant parking lot. And everybody takes their four or five dogs.
Wow.
And we walk them around so they can poop and pee, and then they go into vans. We've all just traveled up, and then they go to homes or into foster homes. A lot of times we'll approve, maybe let's say we have five people approved for a home, but we'll take nine dogs because we want to take as many as we can. Then we'll place them in foster, and then hopefully find a home. So. Yeah, it's quite an event when the when the truck pulls in and all the groups come out and there the dogs are. And
that must be amazing.
Take a picture
of that must be
next
amazing.
Time. Oh, send it to us. We want to share it with our listeners. I think that's just amazing.
It is.
Up
yeah,
to 40 dogs at one time. Ooh, all going to new homes.
Yeah,
how fabulous.
It's very cool.
I think one thing that impressed me was that you said that it was the track that's actually transporting them.
Well, it's not next to the track. The track works with those who then transport them. We have people who
just
work with the track.
Just cooperative, not necessarily providing.
Yeah, the tracks the holding kennels are sort of off the tracks, and then we have groups that work with the tracks to then bring the transports up. Exactly.
But that the tracks are cooperating is a big deal.
It is, and I don't know, but I just remember a decade or so ago, it didn't seem like there was that type of cooperation taking place, but maybe it was a little farther back than that even.
Well, I think it's good. I mean, it certainly is good PR,
yeah.
And I just think that the tracks realize that, if we want to continue to do this, then we have to do that, or we're not going to, because I think it doesn't bode well.
Yeah. I was down in St. Pete for a little while, and they have a track there, and... I was about 6 months I was working there. So someone wanted to go. I was like, no, I can't do that. But I've been by there. It was empty most of the time. When they had events going.
Yeah.
Nobody was showing up.
Yeah.
So, which pleased me. But.
Well, it's too bad because, these dogs love to race. And one of the caveats of getting a greyhound is, you're supposed to keep them on a leash all the time because they are sight hounds. They have been trained to run after this mechanical hare, so they will go. But if you can take them to a fenced in area, a safe area where they can run, boy, they love a good sprint. And just to see them run, free like that, just to run, really. And Azure just loves, I just tell, I say, Azure, go. She goes. And that sprint, and that just beautiful, they can go. I think it's 0 to 40 in a couple of strides.
Wow.
And but that they're running because they want to run, not because they're being forced to run, not because they're making someone money.
Yeah.
It's just what they love to do.
I'd like to see Surrey run with him. I know she couldn't keep up, but
she
would try really hard.
Yeah.
I have a cattle dog that's very fast for a cattle dog, but they're much smaller. But she will run all day long.
So it'd
be just a hoot. Yeah. That'd be
they'd have a great time.
Yeah.
They'd have a great time.
Now, I have a question about folks, anyone who might be interested in adopting their first greyhound. Is there a particular kind of family that's better than another? What do these dogs need?
I mean, I think it's really just like any adoption, just a loving family. One thing with the greyhounds is just to know that sometimes what you're getting is, you've got this big adult dog, but it's just a little puppy who's never had that kind of affection that we tend to think of. You get a puppy and, I love it and take care of it. Well, they've worked with, the handlers on the track, but they sort of don't know what to do. So patience, a lot of patience, a lot of dedication. These dogs come in. I had to teach them how to climb the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what stairs are. They don't know what doors are. You have to put things up on the glass door so they don't go running through the door. So it's just patience and love and kindness. But these guys acclimated. I had Sid a couple days. He was like, okay, I got it.
I own the place.
I own the place. When I got Ellie, he trained Ellie how to climb up the stairs. It was an amazing thing to watch. She had no idea what it was. And he walked up and he turned around and she walked a couple. So, I didn't even have to
don't
do anything.
Love when dogs train
I love
dogs.
That. I love
it's
that.
My favorite thing in the world.
It's amazing.
I love that.
It's amazing.
But a lot of things, too, for one thing that we do try to tell people is, don't adopt a greyhound because you feel sorry for the dog. Adopt a greyhound because you really want a greyhound. do some research on the breed. And, you know, they just, you know, they all need a home, but they don't need a home just to have a home. Want to make sure that people know that, you know, there's certain requirements for the dogs. We were talking earlier. A lot of people get a greyhound and, you know, feed it. And these guys are supposed to look too thin, where people walk by and go, oh, that dog is thin. And that, yep, that's exactly right. So, I mean, I think it's just like anything else, but there is so much information online about lots of frequently asked questions, so that you can really go into it knowing that, you know, I've made the right decision, which I think is true for any, when you're adopting any dog, make sure that
so
it fits into your life.
Kids, cats, other dogs.
Some do, some we call cat friendly. We never call a greyhound cat safe because of the sighthound training. Mm-hmm. But we run cats by them when they're being up for adoption, so then we can list them on the website as cat safe. But there are pictures, as you would see, the cats are lying right here. So yeah, and it's amazing.
So like all dogs, they're unique.
They're individuals.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we hope against hope that just some of our listeners will be inspired to look into Greyhound Rescue, because what a wonderful thing y'all are doing. Thank you so much for doing it.
Yeah, it's really, they're amazing dogs, so beautiful. I'm just sitting here petting one.
Yeah, that's not fair, because I can't reach one from where
I'm seated.
Too bad,
I got the good seat.
And we want to give Kathy your rescue group.
Oh, it's Greyhound Adoption of Greater Rochester, Rochester, New York. And actually, you can see us online. It's www.greyhoundadopt.org. And then you can, and we also have links out to other sites, but you can get all kinds of information. And then you can also find out, you know, there's usually a local greyhound group just about in any place, and you can find one closest to you. And they'll typically have a website and a phone number, and you can call up and find out all information and get the process going if that's something you're interested in.
You're awesome. Next to greyhounds.
Exactly.
That's right. Take a pair.
Or more.
Like bookends.
That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been really nice.
Yeah. And just keep on taking care of those greyhounds. What a wonderful way to spend your life, isn't it?
It is.
Thanks,
Kathy. Thank you.